All right, good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Sunday morning. If you would let me know how you can hear me, because my computer yesterday when I was trying to do news went kaput, so I'm having to use another one. Will y'all let me know if you can hear me good? Let me check my settings here. Testing, testing. Okay, very good. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Sunday morning. We have officially ended our 40-day fast. Can you believe it? Another year of a very precious time of us giving God our first fruits of the year. So today we have a very special program that we're going to do as a communion. If everybody would gather your communion elements while Pastor is preaching at the end of our church service today, we're going to be doing communion, and we are going to seal what God did these 40 days, and we're going to dedicate this year to the Lord. And it's a very special time that we all did seeking the Lord. And let me mute this. Seeking the Lord and hearing what He has to say changed a lot of our lives, set us on fire and things like that. So we're going to just seal all of it today in a communion. Okay, good. I'm glad y'all can hear me. Thanks for texting me. So, if y'all would gather your elements later for that, that would be great. And then, it is very critical where we're at right now. We have the Super Bowls actually today. And there's a lot of talk about that because the president's going to be there. It's never been done before. And we know, you know, his threat that he made to Iran, saying that if he gets assassinated, that he wants him to go after Iran, so we could be on the cusp of World War III. I mean, there's a lot going on in the atmosphere and the spirit and everything, and which is why, one of the reasons why Pastor this morning, the Lord woke him up again last night, many times in the night, and kept adding and adding and adding to this sermon today. Don't you love your pastor? This man has the fresh word from heaven. If I trust anyone to have a fresh word from heaven, it is him. And I'm very thankful to be hearing this today because we need this. This is also, so what the Lord is dealing with him about that he's going to talk about today is a seared conscience, a seared conscience, because we know that the ark door is shut, and there's people, especially if something happens to him, you know, will people be able to hear anything after that point? I'm serious, because chaos will not even be the word for it. But so he's going to preach on that. And then another very special occasion is tomorrow night. The very first class of Bible college is finishing. Tomorrow is their last day of their first class. And we're doing a very special program on our channel, the YouTube channel. And they will be sharing their life story. And I would like for all of the church to be there. I would like for you guys to be praying for them. No matter when you're listening to this today, because a lot of people, you know, can't listen to this service until later on in the day. But I want you to be there tomorrow night at 6 p.m. It's going to be very special. I mean, these people have been in surgery with the Lord for the past 40 days. And it's a big deal for them to go public with their testimony. And they're doing it in a way that is it's boot camp for them, because the scenario is going to be they're in an elevator that's going down, and they're all about to die in about 10 minutes. So there's a man on there that wants to get saved, and you have to tell him about your life, share your life story with him. So that is the scenario that we're all going to be listening to tomorrow night. So I really encourage, because every one of their stories is for God's glory. Everyone is unique. And when I first started with them, I cried and cried when I read their life stories. I was like, what an honor for me to be a part of these people's lives. I mean, you know, I feel honored. I'm with royalty here. I mean, these people, I can relate to a lot of them, yada, yada. So you'll get to hear all of this tomorrow. And it's going to be a very special time. So this that we're ending in right now is kind of a pause, because we're ending the 40-day fast. We are ending the first class, and it's almost like a transition is happening. So the Lord gave me a dream last night, and this is the announcement I wanted to make this morning. The Lord gave me a dream last night and said that Pastor and I are to pull back in ministry for 2 weeks. We are to rest and receive, not give, but to receive. God wants to do some correction in our ministry. He wants to discipline us and talk to us and shape us. Pastor and I have the heart that we want to be disciplined. We want to be moldable. So we're going to have to pull back for 2 weeks. And it's a, well, like he's preaching about the seared conscience. We all have to make sure our consciences have not been seared. You know, that we haven't grown cold. The Bible says in the last days, their love will grow cold. And so God is pulling us back to do surgery on us, because we have been giving, pouring it, flooding it, you know. So it's time for us to receive and to pause. So the Lord told me in the dream a few things that I want to tell you as a church. Number one is that this is the time for us to rest and receive. This is a time of transition. That's what the Lord said, that the church as a whole is in transition. And I also saw that plagues are coming. I saw in my dream that swarms were coming. Like, they looked like flies, but they had tails as scorpions. You know, and they were, you know, taking people out type of deal. And then I saw them on a bridge, a bunch of people on a bridge, and there was a swarm of these things coming. And we've studied this on the news, how they do their swarms, where they have up this hard plastic. Excuse me, I had to sneeze. But those things were hitting that plastic, but they sounded like metal. So we know what we have studied in the news. But there is, in other words, there is trouble on the horizon. But God has been confirming to the church. He has been confirming to us the wicked will face the wrath, but the righteous will be protected. And I believe that we will be protected just like literally the children of Israel in the days of old. I mean this with everything that is in me. But for me and Dennis, we have to go through some a correcting rod. And we have to go through some healing and deliverance type of deal. Just some time alone with the Lord. You know, so that he can do what he needs to do so that we can give more when we come back. So what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks is we'll upload sermons on the YouTube channel for the next two Sundays. And then tomorrow will be the last prayer call. But you can still call in and just talk to each other, just not have a leader. But y'all can still minister to each other. And then there'll be no more news. No news for 2 weeks. And so today I'll do news at noon. And that's going to be what I have. And then we'll probably, you know, see what happens at the Super Bowl. I may go live later. I mean, you know. But, and then tomorrow we'll have the prayer call. And then the very, very special... it's a kind of like their graduation for their class. It's their final exam is tomorrow night. And so that's going to be, you know, we'll do that tomorrow night. And then after that, Dennis and I will have to, you know, go spend some time with God and go through our time of cleansing. So I want to tell you this too. When I did the 2017 fast, just like what we just did for 40 days, there's a lot of warfare. Like last night when I was trying to do the news, you know, my computer's tore up. How many hundreds of dollars is that going to cost? When I got to take it to the computer shop tomorrow, I think my graphics card went out. So I don't know how much that's going to be, but I got to take that tomorrow. But the warfare, you know, it's a lot of warfare when you go through the 40-day. Well, in 2017, when I went through that over President Trump, the Lord put me in a 2-week rest. And I've told you guys this story many times. At the end of the 2 weeks, he launched me. Remember? He gave me 4 dreams. In 4 nights, and he downloaded the assignment that I was to do for the entire year. He said, you're to go on this. Each night when he woke me, when he gave me the dream, he gave different instructions, and I would get up in the mornings and write them all down. So he told me, I want you to go on a 6-month tour, travel the country, 36 states, 18,000 miles. Well, he didn't say 18,000 miles, but he said, I want you to travel along the entire border of the country, and I want you to pray. The whole mission was prayer. And then to do 4 revivals on the north, south, east, and west, pray over all 50 states on a 50-day ablaze. I did that on the radio, yada, yada. So it was a big mission, but it was that 2-week rest that rested from the warfare of the fast. And then he launched me for my year's project. I'm not saying that's going to happen this year. I don't know. But I do know I've got some correction for me. I don't know about Dennis, but I know that for me, you know, God's got to do some correcting ride to me for a little bit. I know. So we're going to be, you know, like going before our parents, you know, for 2 weeks. But I love you guys, and I appreciate you allowing us to obey the Lord like this. And I would appreciate if you would be a support to us, that you would pray for us. Because I've told you guys many times before, God has rebuked me and told me, shut it down, get in the prayer closet many times over the past, 12 years now. So this is one of those times where he says, okay, stop what you're doing. You need to see me. You're in trouble, you know, type of deal. Last time he said that and I went in the prayer closet, he said, because I was wanting to quit. I was tired of ministry and tired of the suffering, yada, yada. And he told me, he said, you're not allowed to quit. You know, I didn't send you to London. I didn't send you to D.C. for nothing, woman. Now I want you to go to D.C. and I want you to prophesy in front of the White House. And that's what I did. And that was, he told me to do that from Stephen, which was the first martyr up until now. Declare the time. And that's what I did, which ended up being Paul. And Paul is the reason that the church is under a lot of persecution right now, because the, the modern day Sanhedrin, you know, they don't like Paul, and they're debunking Paul really bad online, because that's what a lot of Christendom stands on, is Paul's writings. You know, he wrote most of the New Testament. And so I went up there to Washington, D.C. to proclaim that the church is going to stand behind Paul. You know, we're going to stand behind the Bible, and we're going to believe that Jesus is what he says he is, you know. So anyway, well, that's all the news I have for you guys this morning. Thank you for, trusting us to be able to obey the Lord and to understand that we get corrected too. I have often, you know, been honest with you guys about, you know, when the Lord whips me, because I want you to know every person, nobody is above reproach. There's nobody above a rod of correction. You know, and I actually look forward to it, because I would rather, you know, God whip me on this side of glory than on the other side. Do y'all hear what I mean? So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for this 40 days. Today is the final official day of the 40-day fast. And we thank you, Lord, for calling us to pray and calling us to set time away, the first fruits of our year, the 40 days, Lord, to seek your face and to bring ourselves under submission to your will, Lord, and to let you know that we highly esteem you in our lives, and we want to be used by you in this year. And so, Lord, I just thank you that when we do communion today, Lord, that we will seal what you did in the Spirit to us as a church over the past 40 days. Lord, we know that 40 is very special to you. And there's a reason that we do this. And so I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that as we sing today, that it will give you glory, Lord. And I pray that you pull us together as a church, Lord, to lift the frequency to heaven, Lord. And that the angels will bear witness to our song today. As we come together in unity, Lord, worshiping the true God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For you are worthy to be praised, Lord. No matter what happens to us, you're always worthy. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for Pastor today. We thank you, Lord, that you have supercharged his spirit, Lord. to be receiving from heaven. And we thank you. We look forward to receiving the manna that you have given us from heaven, Lord. And I just pray too, Lord, that while me and him are in this time of our cocoon before the throne, Lord, that you do pull out all things that have so easily beset us, Lord, that have crept in, and that you do heal us, Lord, so that we can be more efficient for your people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the first song I'm going to sing today is kind of like our ministry song. And this is the song that I tell you guys what a day that will be. You need to know that song, because if something happens, you know, in this end time scenario, because really you never know. The Bible says it's all going to go down in one day. You know, we know that we're all here on borrowed time anyway, right? We all know this thing could go down any moment now, okay? So we, every time we gather together, you know, we look at it like this may be our last, because it really may be our last. I mean, in this scenario, you know, if something happened to the Super Bowl today, you know, they would shut off all communication so we won't be able to talk or warn or, you know, so you never know. So know this song. Know this song. Because if you are put somewhere, you will sing it and others will know. So it is our hope of what we have to look forward to whenever we go to heaven. Amen. So here we go. It's called What a Day That Will Be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious day there will be. There'll be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow over there. But forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day there will be. What a day there will be when our Jesus we shall see. As I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious day there will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious days it will be. Such a beautiful song. Okay, the next song, this one is a special request from Pastor, that he wanted sung just for today's sermon, called Friend of God. Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. Pastor, I hope you like that, because that gets awful high, sir. Good morning. Good morning, Pastor. I'm trying to, there you go. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you sound very good, sir.
Okay. I guess the computer's off to the side a little bit, but all my paperwork and books are in front of me.
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right, I guess we'll get started here. Thank you for that song. We'll have to play that later, the whole song through, I guess. And anyway, thank you for that. Also, it's interesting that the dream that you had, because it kind of goes along with not just this message I hope I can share clearly today, but also it goes along with some of the stuff earlier this week that we talked about, and the message that you did, I can't remember what day, was it Monday or Tuesday, from Ezekiel 14. And,
yes, Ezekiel 14 and Exodus 12.
Yeah. So, anyway, it does kind of go along with that. And you can also add Romans 1 in there. I'm trying to think of the verse. I think it's 28. So, but anyway, saying that, you know, the word sanctification comes up to me, you know, and that's part of seeking God, you know, and you know, we need change, we need transition or whatever, you know, we need to examine our heart, examine our conscience. And originally I never even thought about the message that I'm going to do today. I had a completely different way I was going, and well, it got changed.
Hey, Pastor, hold on just a moment. Is Pastor too low? Is the volume too low, or is it okay for you guys? Let me get some feedback from some people here.
All right.
Oh, they said it's fine. Okay, sorry, Pastor. Go ahead. Sorry.
That's all right. Anyway, we need to, with this message today, it's you know, we all need to take that time and examine ourselves, you know, before a holy God. And so it goes along with this whole week of what we've been looking at and talking about. So, you know, transition and to be able to receive, you know, with a humble heart, you know, what we need to do to, you know, to stand righteous before the Lord, you know, and to go forward, you know, for such a time as this, and get on, make sure we're on the right path that he wants us to take, you know, that the will of the Lord be done, not our will, not some other man's will, but, you know, the Lord's. So, anyway, we can turn to 2 Timothy, you know, chapter 1, but originally, I was going to dig into verses 7 and 8, and we will touch on those, but we want to start with verse 1, and actually verse 3 is where most of this message is going to be about. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you that your word is the truth that sets us free, Lord, from all the powers of darkness, against sin, sickness, disease, and calamity, Lord. All the fiery darts of the devil are void from operating against us in the mighty name of Jesus. So we thank you for your word, Lord, that your word would prick our conscience, Lord, prick our heart, Lord, and make us examine our lives, examine our path, you know, that we're going, Lord, and we just want to be led by you, by your spirit, Lord, for such a time as this. So we just thank you for your word, Lord. I ask that you would bless this word, bless this message, Lord, and pour out your spirit upon it, Lord, to lead us and guide us in the way that we should go, in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, in 2 Timothy here, you know, Paul begins his letter to Timothy by addressing him as dear son. And, you know, and that's powerful, you know, because, you know, it shows the, you know, well, this word, dearly loved, is very powerful back then. You know, it really puts emphasis on, you know, that he is, you know, he has this deep, warm affection, you might say, for Timothy. He really, you know, loves him, and he thinks highly of him, you know. And you, I think you'll see in this message, but it really means a lot, okay, when he says that in verse 2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, you know, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. So, you know, and that's where our heart should be, you know, when we're addressing family, friends, loved ones, whatever, you know, we need to have that attitude, that, you know, sincerity. Uh, So then we go down to verse 3. I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night. And there's that two words, pure conscience, or a clear conscience, okay? And I may jump around here. I may address certain things a couple times over. But as I was looking at this and studying it and looking up meanings and this and that, it's like, wow, wow. You know, it's something serious that we really need to ponder and think about, you know. It says here, I thank God, whom I served with my forefathers with pure conscience. You know, the conscience, you know, it guides us. It helps us know what is right and wrong, and how to live in accordance with God's standards. You know, the conscience warns. You know, it warns us before we do something wrong. And it urges us to do what is right. You know, the conscience, it can be a witness to the values and norms that people recognize when determining right and wrong. You know, what are your values and your norms? Do they line up with God's standards? You know, it induces emotions. You know, it can influence emotions like pleasure or relief. You know, when people conform to their values, and, you know, anguish or guilt when they violate them. And emotions, just going to touch on that here, you know, that's part of the soul realm, mind, will, and emotions. You know, when something happens to us, good, bad, or indifferent, it stirs up an emotion. You know, and what we do with it is going to be our will. So this is some serious stuff, really. You know, the conscience, you know, it was affected from the very beginning by what perverted by the fall. The fall perverted the conscience, making it possible for people to do wrong without feeling guilt. Wow. You know, but reformed by God. God can challenge people's ideas of right and wrong to reform their conscience. You know, and how do we do that? By God's word. You know, we don't want to be willingly ignorant of God's word. And I want to touch on that, being willingly ignorant. That's very serious. And that goes along with June's message from Ezekiel 14, Romans 1:28. And we're going to talk more about that here. You know, we can clear our conscience by confessing our sins, our shortcomings, etc., to God. You know, from what? A humble and contrite heart. You know, we can turn to Isaiah 66:2 and Psalm 51:17. They talk about that. You know, and trusting in Jesus' forgiveness. And we're going to touch on this a little more, but again, I'm going to be going over some things a couple of times. Probably you're going to hear me, but, you know, in Hebrew, the word for conscience is heart. You know, it's sometimes related to, refer to the conscience in the Bible, you know, to exercise self-evaluation and more in the moral sense, okay? You know, a person through the Word of God, you know, is how you form your conscience to make, you know, practical and concrete judgments. And we have to have God's Word. We have to, you know, trust in His Word to form our conscience, to sanctify our heart, you might say. You know, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, we have to have a pure heart. And when I first, years ago, read that verse, I thought, wow, that's powerful. You know, to have a pure heart, you know, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We all want to see God. We want to see the Lord Jesus. But the Bible says, blessed are those, you know, get with a pure heart. So we really need to examine. We need to evaluate our heart, our conscience. Amen. So, you know, we want to talk about the conscience here a little bit today. It's a gift from God that helps people determine what is right and wrong. It's a moral intuition that guides people in accordance with God's standards. At least that's what it's supposed to do. So, you know, here Paul is, you know, thanking God that he could serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience. That's interesting. He says forefathers, and it goes along with verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfringed faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in my grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, that I am persuaded that in thee also. It's kind of an inheritance. This morning I woke up about 4 o'clock, and I was praying and about this message and thinking about it. And right here, the word inheritance come up. And so I laid there thinking about it, you know, wow. You know, he served from his, you know, I thank God whom I've served. I serve from my forefathers. So, you know, this is kind of an inheritance, you know, that he's desiring that, you know, it can be passed on. And it was passed on, I guess, if this is making any sense. But it's just something that come to my mind. This pure conscience is the belief that you have done nothing wrong or bad. It can also mean that you feel free of guilt or responsibility. You know, example is, you know, I have no regrets and I can leave the company or whoever with a clear conscience. I have a clear conscience. I did all I could do to help. Let's turn to 1 John. 1 John. Let's see here. 1 John 1. First John 1:9-10. You know, it speaks of confessing of sin as an ongoing characteristic of the Christian life. Okay, let's read this. 1 John 1. Let's just start with verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, we have to confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive our sins, amen, and cleanse us from unrighteousness. James chapter 5. Verses 15 and 16. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, confession is part of your prayers of faith. You know, because here, you know, in 2 Timothy, you know what? He's praying. You know, Paul's praying for Timothy. And, you know, he's praying day and night, it says here in verse 3. You know, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night. So we want to, you know, we want our prayers to be answered, right? We want our prayers, you know, when we pray before the Lord, that we will see answers, that our testimony is right before the Lord. So we, you know, we have to really seek the Lord, you know, confess, you know, it's sanctification again, you know, it's that cleansing our conscience, our heart, you know. You know, David wrote in Psalm 32 about the blessedness of forgiveness. Psalm 32, let's just turn there quickly. Psalm 32. Verse 5. But this whole psalm, you know, we could read, but verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. This is a really good, you know, really good psalm. It's the psalm, the blessedness of forgiveness. You know, we're so blessed that, you know, we have a Heavenly Father that forgives us, you know, as we need to forgive others, and we hope others will forgive us when we confess our sins. It's really about, you know, once again, having a clear conscience, a pure conscience. Amen. Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 14 and 15. And, you know, this is the end, you know, where Jesus is talking about, you know, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. That's verse 9. This is the Lord's Prayer. But verses 14 and 15, I want to read here. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Praise God. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know, thinking about this, wow. Is there anybody that we have a hard heart toward that we're not forgiving? We have to have a really, you know, and me, when I was thinking about this, you know, okay, well, you know, is there somebody I need to give a call and say, hey, have I done something wrong? You know, why do you treat me like this? And I could give a couple examples right now, but for time's sake, I'm not. But, you know, especially in the time we're living right now, where we have family members, loved ones who are coming against us because of what we feel is happening, what we believe, what we see, and the deception, etc. And we have people coming against us, you know, what did I do? So, you know, we have to, again, examine our hearts. Do we have a pure conscience, you know, with these people? You know, we must educate our conscience. For a weak, easily grieved conscience is a lack of spiritual knowledge and understanding in the wisdom of the Word of God. Wow. I'm going to read that again. We must educate our conscience. For a weak, easily grieved conscience is a lack of spiritual knowledge and understanding in the wisdom of God's Word. Wow. You know, 1 Corinthians 8, you know, and I'm going to let people go to 1 Corinthians, you know, on your own and read that. But I think last week I mentioned also 1 Corinthians. I mean, it's just so relevant for today. There's so much in there to absorb about not being entangled with the world and to sanctify our hearts and with a pure conscience and stuff. You know, if your conscience is too easily wounded, don't violate it. Don't dismiss your conscience's conviction. You know, when our conscience convicts us, don't dismiss it, is what I'm saying here. You know, don't override conviction. Because if you do, it will lead to overriding true conviction of sin. And that's what our conscience can do. You know, it wants to convict us of our sins, our shortcomings, whatever. You know, if we're violating that, overriding this conviction, this conscience, and to do that is sin itself. You know, verse 7, 1 Corinthians. So, you know, we really have to be careful. I'm going to turn to that. 1 Corinthians 9. I think that's where I was. No, I guess that's not it. Anyway, we really have to examine ourselves. Amen. Respond to your conscience. Even if it is weak, then continue to inform your conscience with what? With God's Word. So it can begin to function with real truth. We must focus on divinely inspired truth, you know, God's word. Not let your conscience look to personal feelings. It can only accuse you wrongly. We are not to run or order our life by feelings and emotions, you know, because they can get in our way. A conscience fixed on, you know, feelings and emotions will become unreliable. It will only create or provoke unnecessary doubts and fears to the soul. The conscience must be persuaded by God's word, not by feelings and emotions. Okay? We can't order our lives by feelings and emotions. You know, we can't. We have to be careful. You know, furthermore, the conscience errs when the mind focuses wholly on your faltering in sin and ignores the stability with a clear conscience. We can live in abundance of freedom, peace, joy, and the fruits of the spirits. You know, so we can't let, you know, a faltering conscience, you know, lead us in sin. I've got a bunch of different notes here. As I was going through this, I kept getting sidetracked, so I got little pieces of paper. I'm sorry if I'm jumping around here a little bit, but you know, faltering in sin and ignores, because what it will do, you know, when you're faltering in sin and your conscience is not built up by God's word and it's being leading you, you know, astray, what does it do? It can not bring you into the triumphs of God's grace in you. You know, the true Christian should experience both realities. Conscience must be allowed to weigh the fruit of the spirits in your life, as well as the remnants of your sinful flesh. Wow. Otherwise, your conscience will become overly accusing, prone to unwholesome doubts about your standing before God. Well, that's something to ponder about. We must learn to subject our conscience to the truth of God's word and the teachings thereof. As we do that, our conscience will become more clearly focused and be able to give reliable feedback with a trustworthy conscience. We are more powerfully, you know, in our spiritual growth. You know, we can come more stable in our lives with a clear conscience, you know, and that's where we can live in abundance of freedom, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I remember when, it's been years ago, back in the early, I'm trying to think here. Late 90s or early 2000s when I was in children's ministry. And that was one of the things I always told the children. I always sing happiness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, we can have that with a clear conscience. You know, we really got to seek the Lord. You know, to have triumph in our lives, you know, and how can we have a free conscience? Huh? James 5:15, you know, and And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And he, if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. You know, confessing your sins, your shortcomings, your wrongdoings, acknowledge them, ask for forgiveness, you know, to the Lord first, and then to whoever you may, you know, meet, you know, need to confess. Verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Wow. You know, we can't cover up our sins. We have to acknowledge them. We have to confess them. Because if you don't, you know, there's no mercy. You know, ask for forgiveness. You know, how to have a free conscience. Make amends, apologize to those who you have wronged, etc., and try to make it right with them. You know, take responsibility, accept responsibilities for your actions, and don't make excuses. You know, we have to trust in the Lord God Almighty. Believe He has forgiven our shortcomings, our sins, etc., and that we can become right with Him. We have to, you know, we have to trust that and have that in our minds that, wow, you know, if we really, with a humble, contrite heart, come before the Lord and believe that if we forgive, like the Bible says, you know, if we don't forgive others, God don't forgive us. But we have to, you know, hopefully with a pure conscience, believe that the Lord will forgive us. And that we can move on, that we don't hold all this stuff back that could be hindering us from going forward. Amen. So we have to educate ourselves, learn about what is considered good and bad, and how to make good choices. And again, that, how do we do that? By studying God's Word. First Timothy. Let's see if I can find that. First Timothy. Chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. This is a verse that came up, you know, when I was thinking about this. This was when I went to bed last night and laying there, and I never even thought about this verse, and it come up, and so I like, ooh. And so I come outside, you know, out here by my desk and wrote it down. And then this morning when I got up, I don't know what time it was, 4 o'clock. And then so I looked that up. I'm like, wow. And the word that come to me was, whoa. whoa, you know? And we're in those latter-day times, we believe here. You know, in this chapter 4 of 1 Timothy is talking about predictions of apostasy. And anybody that, you know, that really wants to seek truth in the Lord, you know, and can see what I always tell people, we have to look at a much bigger picture of what's happening. And when you look at a bigger picture of, you know, in whole of what's happening, you'll see that many people are departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, I'm going to touch on this a minute. You know, it describes, you know, a seared conscience as a conscience that has been cauterized with a hot iron. You know, like in the old, you know, I like to watch cowboy shows. You know, when somebody gets shot, you know, or getting shot by an arrow, and you know, somebody pulls the arrow out or cuts the bullet out of them, and what do? They put a knife over the fire and they get it hot, and then they shear that wound. And they cauterize it. They close it up. And that's what it's talking about here. It's talking about that happening to your conscience. You know, this verse is warning us against the dangers of false teaching and the rejection of truth. You know, it's very serious because we're seeing that very clearly. You know, a seared conscience is a conscience that becomes insensitive and unresponsive to moral truth. And again, this goes back to that Ezekiel 14, Romans 1, and there's some other scriptures. It's like the surface of a wound, a cut, burned, closed, and healed over, and now becomes numb to the pain. You know, is your mind numb to the truth? Is it numb to what's really happening? Is it being sheared by hot iron to the lies of demons and devils? You know, these teachings from seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, you know, here in verse 1, chapter 4, 1 Timothy, you know, people are giving heed to, you know, what's that? Giving heed to, oh, wow, they're being seduced, you almost might say, into these, you know, these false teachings. They're getting their ears tickled by half-truths. And, oh, that's, yeah, you know, they're being sucked in. And as they're doing this, what's happening? They're departing from the faith of truth. This is, you know, where we say, whoa. You know, in our prayers, oh, whoa, man, Lord God, you know, help us to help others to see the truth. You know, the truth of what? Of the Lord God and His statutes, His commands, His word. You know? Because if not, it can shear your conscience. You know, it can lead you astray. Well, let's go back to 2 Timothy. And let me look at something here. Where was that? 1 Timothy. Okay, I'm going to go back, I'm sorry, to 1 Timothy 4. That was verse 1 that I read, in verse 2. And then let's go up to verse 5. For it is sanctification by the word of God and prayer. You know, sanctified by the word, set apart for use. Is what that means, you know, by the word of God and prayer. Verse 6, if thou put thy brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profit a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and a worthy of all acceptation. Entire accepting, you know. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Amen. So sanctification. Nourished up in words of faith. You know, and that goes back to that example of in 2 Timothy. Let's read 2 Timothy Chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfringed faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and now in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Unfringed faith. You know. He's given the example. And that goes back to that inheritance, you know, his examples, you know, his unfringed faith that his grandmother and his mother have. You know, they're leaving a good heritage. And that's that word that came to me this morning about 4 o'clock when I was thinking about this verse. You know, are we leaving a good heritage? Well, that's something to really ponder. I know I thought about that much. But benefits of having and pursuing a free conscience, you know, we can feel free of guilt and responsibility. We can experience peace, freedom, and joy. We can be confident when you appear before God. You know, we can pursue righteousness and purity. Amen. That's that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, Paul often speaks about having the pure conscience. Acts, and I'm not going to turn all of these, but there's many examples. Acts 23:5, 1 Timothy 1:5, 1 Timothy 1:18-19, 1 Timothy 3:9, 2 Timothy 1:3, Romans 1:18, Romans 9:1, 1 Peter 3:16, and that's just but a few. Paul believed that with a pure conscience, we are always reminded of the difference between good and evil. He also believed that with people who deliberately violate their conscience can compromise their faith. I'm going to read that again. Paul believed that people with a pure conscience are always reminded of the difference between good and evil. Because that's what the conscience will do. It'll remind us. Don't go that way. No, come back this way. Let's go this way. When you got God's word stored up in your heart, your conscience, your heart is going to guide you. And he also believed that people who deliberately violate their conscience can compromise their faith. Whoa, think about that. So beware, because, we want answered prayers for others. And that's, our intercession on behalf of others, and that's what Paul is saying here in this, he's praying, with the pure conscience that without ceasing I remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night. We want our prayers answered, on behalf of others, on behalf of our loved ones. Amen. So he's praying with a pure conscience that there will be answered prayers, And then let's go to verse 5, 2 Timothy 5. When I call to remembrance the unfringed faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul is persuaded. He's saying here, or he's reasoning within himself that, this unfringed faith, this unwavering faith in Timothy's grandmother and his mother is also in Timothy. Wow, ain't that awesome? I was thinking about that, this unfringed faith, He's thinking back. I call to remembrance. He's thinking about this. He remembers how, Timothy's grandmother and her mother had this unfringed faith, this unwavering faith. We need that unwavering faith more now and in the time to come. Unwavering testimony. Let's just put that in there. Examples, after Moses sent those spies into Canaan, and they reported back that the land was good. However, 10 of them discouraged the Israelites by saying that they were not strong enough to take the land because giants lived there. Uh-oh. This is starting to waver their faith. Although the Lord had repeatedly demonstrated his faithfulness to the Israelites by miraculously delivering them from Egyptian slavery, parting the Red Sea for their escape, leading them through the wilderness when they, and when they arrived at the border of the promised land, their faith faltered. Their faith was wavering. Oh, look at these giants. What's the giant in your life today? You know, even though the two spies, Caleb and Joshua, encouraged the people to trust the Lord, who promised to give them the land, they still wouldn't listen. Instead, they cried all night and wanted to go back to Egypt. Back to Egypt. Wow. Because of unwavering faith. Or, excuse me, I should say wavering faith. You know, their ears heard, stirred up emotions in them that wavered their faith instead of trusting in what, you know, what God did for them. You know, when trusting the Lord in conflict with human reason, this is some causes for wavering faith. You know, when you're trusting in the Lord is in conflict with human reason. When we allow our feelings or emotions to overcome our faith. When we fail to see God at work in our circumstances. When we listen to negative counsel. You know, just like they were doing here. Oh, let's go back to Egypt. When we focus on our circumstances rather than on the Lord and His Word. When we are ignorant of God's ways. When we don't believe that God could possibly forgive us. Is that wavering your faith? When we listen to the lies of the devil. You know, those are things that can waver our faith. So right now, Lord God Almighty, we praise you and we thank you that we too will have unwavering faith as we completely trust in you alone and no man. Lord, I ask that to grant all here today a heart that remains faithful to you in all circumstances. Strengthen them in their belief in your word, your promises. Lord, give them an enduring faithfulness, even in the face of adversaries, in adversities. Lord, I pray that they will have a devotion of unwavering devotion for you, Lord, and in your faithfulness, and that you, Lord God, are always with us. Amen. Amen. So we thank you, Lord. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. Back to 2 Timothy, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on the hands. Wow. He says, stir up the gift of God. Means using the gift or the gifts that has been given thee and not letting them grow cold or lukewarm. You know, keeping in step with the Spirit, following the Holy Spirit's direction and guidance, allowing God to thrive in us like a blazing fire. Amen. You know, we have to stir up the gifts that God gives us. You know, stir up them for God's glory. You know, and there's a lot on the gifts, you know, but here, you know, his gift of what? Unceasing prayers, laying on hands, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. You know, we all have gifts. And we need to use them. We need to stir them gifts up. Amen. You know, this Let's read verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And originally, this is what I was going to give this whole message on, this verse, but I got sidetracked when I started reading from verse 1. You know, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You know, he's encouraging believers to face challenges with courage and not to be paralyzed by fear, but relying on the Holy Spirit power in love with a sound mind. That sound mind is clear thinking. Not to be wavering, knowing what must be said and done, faith over fear, you know, this Lord's strength is made perfect in our weakness. When we are weak in our own abilities, but faith and trust in the Lord's power, we become strong. Strong in the power of His might. And when I was thinking about that, it's like Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. And that's, let's go to Colossians. Let's see here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. And Paul's talking about here in Colossians 1, the end of Colossians 1 is about, you know, continuing in the faith, grounded, verse 23, and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, in which ye have preached, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made minister. But let's go down to verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow. You know, that should be our prayer. Amen. But this, from verse 23 to 29 should be our prayer. You know, my personal feelings and thoughts sometimes are not too encouraging to myself. You know, when I was sitting here thinking about this, I'm like, wow, just that. You know, sometimes my thoughts and my feelings, you know, they're not very encouraging to myself. I have doubts and I wonder sometimes. I see all the crazy stuff going on in the world, especially now in the, you know, with Trump in the office and the total betrayal and the deceiving of the church, and so many of them cannot even see what he's doing, you know, and you just sit here just like, wow, man, you know, they have no idea of the big picture, like what I was saying before, what he is doing, how it is ushering in the new world order, the Antichrist beast system, politics and religion merging in so fast. You know, the eyes and ears of the church and whole blind and living in total delusion are willingly ignorant. And these were my thoughts when I was, you know, thinking about this. And that goes back to Romans 1, 25 through 28, Ezekiel 14. Willingly ignorant of the truth. Their conscience is being seared. Their wavering faith. You know, their faith ain't in the Lord God Almighty. It's in some man. It's in the system of the systems of this world. You know? And we know the time is coming for persecution of the church, especially the remnant. Those who are speaking the truth and exposing and rebuking all the lies and deceit. And, you know, I didn't look up all the scriptures, but there's many scriptures where it says rebuke. We're to rebuke. We're to expose evil for what it is. Amen. Now I want to read, let's go to that second.
Papa, while you're turning over there, Pastor, do you mind if I insert a thought here?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I'm taking really good notes of what you're saying and putting it on the website. With all of the scriptures, the main scriptures. And there's another aspect of this I want us all to consider is the searing of our own conscience. Because we know that the church that has been swept in by the beast has definitely seared their conscience. But we need to consider ways that the enemy tries to come in and sear our conscience. How? Rejection.
Right.
We've been rejected by all these people, and you know, it may cause a hardness to come in there, hurt, offenses.
Yes.
People
yes, that's true.
You, you know? And not only that, but being offended at what you're seeing happening out there. You know,
right.
There's a lot of searing of conscience that goes both ways. That's all I want to say.
Right. That's very that's a good point. Definitely. You know, that can definitely affect us, you know, affect our mind or conscience or whatever. But I want to go back to that 2 Timothy verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Okay? And I just want to read something. And this is from the book Sparkling Gems from the Greek by Rick Renner. And it says, what does it mean to have a sound mind? In moments of stress, pressure or fear, or when you're so exhausted you can't think straight, have you ever attempted to say, dear God, what is wrong with me? I feel like I'm losing my mind. Have you ever felt this way before? Or if you're tempted to think like this right now, let me assure you, you're not going crazy. God's word declares that you have been given a sound mind that works even in the craziest and most difficult situations. Let me give you an example from the Bible. When Paul wrote the book of 2 Timothy, it was a very difficult time for the early church. Due to Nero's insanity, he was persecuting believers everywhere, and his methods of persecution were gruesome and cruel. At that time, Timothy was the pastor of the church of Ephesus. He knew that Nero's secret police would take special pleasure in killing him in some barbaric way, even if they ever got their hands on him. And I want to stop there for a moment. Because some things we're hearing right now, some of these executive orders that are going out, could be part of this right here. A persecution, setting up places to take people that don't come into agreement, you know, with the government, with Nero, you might say. Ponder that. He's talking about today. I'm going to continue reading. As Timothy considered the threat against his life, a spirit of fear tried to grab hold of him. That's why Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I want to especially point your focus to the word sound mind. This phrase is taken from the Greek word soprano, if I'm pronouncing that right. Anyway, which is a compound word combining sozo and prano. The Greek word sozo means to be saved or delivered. It suggests something that is delivered, rescued, revived, salvaged, and protected, and is now safe and secure. Praise God. One expositor suggests that the word sozo could actually depict a person who is on the verge of death, but when was revived and resuscitated because new life was breathed into him. The second part of the phrase, sound mind, comes from the Greek word prono, which carries the idea of a person's intelligence or total frame of thinking, including his rational logic and emotions. The word prono refers to every part of the human mind, including all the processes that are engaged in making the mind function and become and come to conclusions. Wow, think about that. When the words sozo and prano are compounded into one word, they form the word sopranio, which pictures a mind that has been delivered, rescued, revived, salvaged, and protected, and is now safe and secure. Hallelujah. Thus, even if your mind is tempted to succumb to fear, as was the case with Timothy, you can allow God's Word and the Holy Spirit to work in you to deliver, rescue, revive, and salvage your mind. This means your rational, logical, and emotions can be shielded from the illogical, absurd, ridiculous, unfounded, and crazy thoughts that try to grip your mind in the past, or maybe even now. All you have to do is grab hold of God's Word and His Spirit. You know, this could be translated, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. He has given you a mind that has been delivered, rescued, revived, salvaged, protected, and brought into a place of safety and security, so that it is no longer affected by illogical, unfounded, and absurd thoughts, which what could waver your faith. You see, when your mind is guarded by the Word of God, you think differently. When the Word of God is allowed to work in your mind, it safeguards your emotions. It defends your mind from demonic assault, and it shields you from arrows the enemy may try to shoot in your direction in order to arouse a spirit of fear inside you. Why is this important for you to understand this? Because when you begin to live a life of faith, when you reach out to do the impossible, the enemy will try to assault you mentally and emotionally in an attempt to stop your progress. Is the enemy trying to stop your progress in life to go forward? For instance, he may speak to your mind saying things like, "You can't do this. This doesn't make sense. You are crazy. So what do you do when the devil tries to convince you that you're losing your mind? What do you do if you're confused due to the stressful situations and so tempted to fear that you can't think straight? Get alone with the Lord and give him your concerns. As you focus on Jesus and release all those burdens, you'll find that your mind is working fine. 2 Timothy 1:7 promises you a sound mind. Therefore, you have the right and privilege to tell the devil to shut up and then to declare by faith that your mind is sound, safe, and secure. Praise the Lord. So, Lord, I thank you by faith that we are not going crazy. That no one here that's hearing this message is going crazy. We're not losing our mind. The stress, the pressure we've been facing is going to pass. And we know you will bring us through these challenging times. Lord, you promised us a sound mind, and that is exactly what you have given us, each one of us here. We can't ever thank you enough or fully express our gratitude for the power, love, and of a sound mind that you have given each of us that will carry us safely through these times. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. These are powerful scriptures one must really ponder. You know. And I want to go back to finish go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but thou be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And I want to touch on this. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Not to be ashamed of your faith, your identity, of who you are in Christ. Who do you represent? You know, are you ashamed of your testimony of our Lord? What he's done in your life? It says right now, right here, it says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. You know, we shouldn't be ashamed because God has given us what? He's given us, but given us the spirit. He hasn't given us the spirit, of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You really got to grasp that. Because when you have that power and love and a sound mind, you're not going to be ashamed of your testimony. Who you are. And that, when I was thinking about this, that's your identity. Who you are. And June has taught a lot about this and is really expressing your identity. You know? Who you are in Christ. Remember, we are ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20. You know, Paul tells Timothy we are going to have afflictions coming our way. That if, you know, if you're a partner in the truth, the gospel, and prepare to suffer for the gospel as God gives you grace and power, we have to share the word of truth without wavering and relying on God's power to do so. Amen. You know, we have to really put all our trust and faith unwavering faith in such a time as this. You know, we have to have our identity in Christ really established. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. Romans 6. You know, I guess let's turn there. Romans 6. You know, what shall we say then? Verse 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if ye have been planted together in likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, okay, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For if he that is dead is freed from sin, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Amen. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Amen. Wow, amen. Death has no more dominion over him. And when I was thinking about that, think about that. Death has no more dominion over you. First Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 51. Well, let's go to verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit the incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, in the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Ooh. Hallelujah. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, The work, your labor is not in vain. It's not empty. You know, there's other verses that talk about this. The same thing about how death is swallowed up in victory. And your labor isn't in vain what you're doing. 2 Peter 3:14, Revelation 21:4, 1 Thessalonians 3:3, Hebrews 2:14 and 15, Hosea 3:14. You know? Many scriptures on this. You know, there's in Isaiah 25. And everybody write that Hosea 25 down. Just make note of that. It's the song of praise by the redeemed. Just wants me to sing that song, My Redeemer Lives. But verse 8, it says, He will swallow up death in victory. Whew! Amen. So, you know, Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And again, you know, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, I'm just, once again, you know, encouraging people to get into and really read and ponder how to strengthen your identity in Christ. Read and meditate, ponder the Word of God and understand who God says you are. Think of yourself as part of Jesus' family. You know, share in His values and incorporate them in your life. Take off, get rid of the former way of life. Be renewed in your mind. Put on your new self. Amen. And amen. And I'm going to end there today. I'll let Mama take over from here. And so, Father God, we just thank You for Your Word, Lord. We thank You that Your Word will change us, Lord. It will transform us into the likeness of Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for this message that will draw us closer to You, that will strengthen us, Lord, and give us a clear conscience, Lord. So I ask that as we go into this transition period too, Lord, for each of us to really seek You and be guided by Your Spirit, Lord, to lead us in the ways that we should go, that the will of the Lord will be done in these coming days. And so we just thank You, Lord, and we praise You in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, so much. You know, we always just enjoy sitting at the table with you and, you know, sharing this T-bone steak. Because that's what I feel like this meat is that you give us, sir. So,
no, thank you.
You're very welcome. I do have an announcement. While Pastor and I are on our two-week hiatus with the Lord, we do have two very special guests that are going to be preaching. I think that you will enjoy. One is one of our own church members. His name is Bruce from Canada. Y'all see him every day in our prayer calls. He is going to preach next Sunday. And then the following Sunday, we're going to have Randy Parker, which is Leah's husband, is going to give you a very special sermon. So I'm excited that, you know, God has brought some other people that you're going to be able to receive from. Isn't that awesome, Pastor?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
Looking Pastor's forward to that. Pastor's really good
friends. Yeah, he's really good friends with Randy, so he's excited, I'm sure, about that, too. So anyways, God worked that part out. And then, as far as the prayer calls go, y'all will just call in and encourage one another, pray for one another, because it is open. I mean, y'all can, you know, call in and minister, and if y'all have something, share with one another, you know, type of deal. So that's the prayer calls, and then the news, I'm going to do it today, and then tomorrow, the prayer call, we will have the last one with me. And then tomorrow night, we'll have a very special broadcast. I invite all of you guys to come and support the Bible College students who are doing their final exam publicly. And they have a scenario that they have to fill, which is they're in an elevator with this guy that is unsaved, and he's about to die, and he's going to go to hell if they don't get him saved. So their final exam is to share their life story with him within the 10 minutes, and you're going to get to hear all the different trees in the garden. Because remember, I was telling you that we're all trees in God's great garden. Every one of you are for a destiny and a purpose. And it's going to be awesome to hear all the, in one night, all of the different trees will be talking. I'm really excited. I mean, you're talking about 15 or 18 trees. I don't know how many, you know, that'll be there type of deal. But I'm excited about it. I invite all of you guys to be with us there on the YouTube channel. And right now, we're going to get ready to do our communion. If y'all have gathered, let me get Pastor on here with us. If y'all have gathered your communion elements, I have mine in front of me. I am going to read us a few scriptures. And what we're doing here is we are sealing up what happened in the 40 days. And we are actually, like the Lord told me in my dream this morning, we are in transition, okay? We're in transition. Something huge, like bigly, is coming. And that 40 days was preparing us for that. So this time of transition is a time of risk because we're going into a warfare like we've never seen. So let's go ahead and dedicate this unto the Lord. If everybody would take your bread. And the word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." It's a way of remembering who he is in us. Amen. Matthew 26, 26 through 28. "Now as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many of the forgiveness of sins.'" And then 1 Corinthians 11, well, we just read that one. Okay, Luke 22:19-20. "And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And then he says in John 6:53-58, "Jesus said to them, 'Verily, truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you.'" This sounds kind of morbid, but the bread actually represents his body. He is the bread of life. He is the manna that was spread out to the children of Israel in the days of old. When we take this, we are accepting what his body did for us, that he hung on the cross for us. He chose to stay up there. And see, this is why we cannot be ashamed of him by denying him what is duly due to him, which is our testimony, and he is due the glory. Amen. So when we take the body, you know, we are calling ourselves with him as one. We are one with Jesus. So, Pastor, let me see where he went here. Oh, he muted his phone. Muted his thing. Pastor, you want to lead us in prayer, sir? Okay, he must not be available, so I'll do it. All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to take your communion, Lord. We do take this bread today, this very precious, precious bread that represents your body, Lord. We accept it into our temple, Lord. We accept what you did in our lives, Lord. And we do want to be one with you, Lord. One in the Spirit. And we thank you and give you praise for what you did on the cross. We know you chose to stay there. So we do accept what you did. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's all take of the body. Luke 22:19-20 also says that likewise, this is Jesus talking, the cup that we have been taking is now poured out for us. It is the new covenant of his blood. In other words, we're making a covenant with the blood that was shed for us. And we are proclaiming his death until he comes. For sure. One thing I want to do, though, before we drink this drink is the representative of the blood, is I want us to take a minute to, I'm going to play us a song. And while we're playing this song, I want us to pray, because the Bible says we should not take this unworthily. And let the Holy Spirit bring any sin up to the surface for you to repent of. And we're going to put that under the blood after we spend this time in prayer right now. So that when we take this communion, we will have sealed our house through this 40-day of prayer, like the children of Israel when they sealed their house, you know, with the blood on the doorpost. This is what we're doing with the blood right now. So let's take a minute and make sure that, you know, that we address this before the throne. So let me get us, here we go. Spoken. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we do bring our hearts before you right now, God. We ask you, Lord, to heal our hearts. Lord, we know that many of us have been offended and hurt and rejected and feel cast away from society. We've experienced much trauma in our eyeballs, much trauma in our ears, Lord. And we pray today that that hasn't seared our conscience. Lord, please keep our conscience open. Help us to be wanting you to correct us. And to walk in that position of humility, Lord. And today as we take your blood, Lord, we recognize your humility that you had. That you was a man without sin. A man that didn't get offended. We pray, Lord, that you cleanse our hearts today with this blood. Heal our bodies today, Lord. From the top of our head to the soles of our feet, Lord. We surrender our temple to you. We surrender our conscience to you, Lord. And we surrender all today. In Jesus' name. So as an act of our faith today, we accept the blood and we take it now. In Jesus' name, let's partake of the blood. Pastor, would you like to say anything? Before we get off here, Pastor.
Yeah, just thank everybody for being here today and hope everybody has a great day and a good week. And like June said, you know, she won't have the prayer calls, but everybody's welcome to come on the call and they can chat and share things and whatever, and I'm sure we may get on there and just share a few little things, but just everybody's welcome to continue fellowship. And so I guess that's about all I got to say, and everybody have a good day.
Yes, no, that's true. That is a good way. And plus you have band, you know, for fellowship, for prayer and stuff like that. And, you know, so we love you guys, and I will see you in a couple of hours. Y'all have a good day, and thank you for doing the